Clone on 700 WLW. The debates will continue probably in the, tomorrow in the debates, I'm sure. I might get mentioned, who knows, but Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, the rest of the U.S. debating over transgender issues, specifically gender-altering surgery. We have the issue internationally of female genital mutilation. That's still a big deal in some countries. And yet, here in the United States, every single day, young men, babies, are circumcised. Why? You may have seen some billboards up around the state if you traveled here in Cincinnati that says circumcision, cruel and harmful. It's part of a 13-day protest tour by Bloodstained Men, as the name of the organization. Right now, they're at East 2nd and Nuxall Way, and I think at later this afternoon, 3 to 5 at Montgomery and Fields Hurdle in Loveland. Oddly, though, they will not be in Tip City. Harry Geierman is with BloodstainedMen.com. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We just often don't think about it, right? And I know that the trends are fewer and fewer young men are being circumcised as babies. Let's start at the beginning. Why did this whole thing start? Was it mainly religious?
Well, in the U.S., in the 19th century, there was a masturbation hysteria. And people believe that masturbation caused diseases. And John Harvey Kellogg of the Kellogg Cornflake Group promoted the idea that by mutilating a boy's penis and causing him pain and destroying part of the most sensitive part of the penis that gives him pleasure, they could prevent boys from masturbating. And, of course, that didn't prevent boys from masturbating.
It didn't?
And so then after it was obvious that, that was a fraud from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's been a fraud that's been perpetrated ever since. It's a big money maker for doctors who do it. And there's a conflict of interest. The same doctors that recommend, that give the bad advice, profit from their bad advice.
What if, there are religious denominations that still subscribe to, having a man circumcised, a Jew, for example, with a moil. Does the protest, is that directed towards them? Is it okay if it's part of religious belief?
Well, there are many Jews who don't circumcise now, and many Jewish men who are angry that they were circumcised. So the fundamental human right is the right to your own body. And we understand that with the female genital mutilation law that says that all girls have a right to their genitalia intact, regardless of their parents' beliefs. And we believe that boys are entitled to equal protection under the law. So it's really the boy's body. It doesn't belong to the parents or anybody else.
If you want to make that decision later in life, I suppose you're probably not going to do it. So this is all born out of the cornflakes guy saying, hey, I think, if you cut the skin off of boys, they'll stop, doing what teenage boys and some men do. And obviously that didn't work at all. And yet somehow this stuck. And that surprises me, too, Harry, that we'd continue now here well into the 21st century with that practice going on. Do parents normally do it just because they think it's a health thing or because previous generations have done it and they're not informed about it?
Both of those reasons. Oftentimes the reason cited is that they want the boy to look like his dad. But if his dad was missing an arm, they wouldn't cut off an arm. It really doesn't make sense when you examine it. But there's a fundamental irrationality to mutilating children. And, all of the reasons come up short when you look at them.
Well, and the other thing is, too, what about the locker room? When they're changing in middle school and they're going through the change and then in high school and they'll be different. So we don't want my kid to be different. I want him to be like everybody else. But even that's not true anymore.
Yeah, because about half of the boys are intact now. So there's really that argument was always silly. I mean, people are going to be teased for all kinds of reasons, and that's not a reason to amputate a body part.
In all seriousness, though, I mean, it's interesting. We're debating over the transgender issue and that the notion that young people shouldn't be mutilated, that they should have their genitals intact, and that they can make that decision. And although it doesn't happen, generally it's more of the drugs and stuff like that. But that's part of the protest that we're talking about here too. And we've had cases in America. I think a few years ago, where a young woman had her genitals mutilated essentially for a religious procedure, and people lost their minds over that. And yet thousands of times a day, it happens in the United States. No one pays attention to it. Why?
It's a clear double standard. People don't want to see that this American fad is harmful and destructive and is causing lifelong damage to babies. And a lot of people don't want to realize that they made a mistake, and they just don't want to face that. And a lot of men don't want to, you know, the first response to grief is denial. And a lot of men are in denial because it's you've lost a body part. It would have given you a lot of pleasure. It's really hard to face that. You were betrayed by the people who were supposed to protect you. And, you know, it's a painful realization, and a lot of men just rely on denial. So there are lots of reasons why it continues. But the profit motive has to always be pointed out, that sure, people are profiting from this.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the cost of having the procedure done, it's several hundred dollars. And you look at, is that really a necessary medical procedure? How long does that take?
It definitely is not necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody says it's necessary. Even the advocates for circumcision admit that it's not necessary.
It's such a gruesome procedure when you think about it. No one wants to in the pain that the infant suffers. Harry Garman is here. He's with bloodstainedmen.com. They are protesting as we speak right now to 1 o'clock at Nuxall Way in East 2nd. And then 3 to 5 Montgomery at Fields Erdl in Loveland. And they're calling attention to ending circumcision, which if you start thinking about it, it's a topic that makes everybody go, ooh. But at the same time, it's like something totally unnecessary. And it's essentially genital mutilation. If you're going to argue against transgendered procedures like that or genital female mutilation, then I don't know why we ignore men. But that's part and parcel for today, I guess, is that men are largely swept under the carpet. It's not that big a deal, as someone would say, and go, well, wait a minute. Now, you're saying, Harry, that there's these harms later in life and you're mourning the loss of your foreskin. None of us remember who's had it done because we were infants when it occurred. What kind of long-term mental and physical damage could we talk about here?
Well, trauma is imprinted on the brain when the child goes through that sort of traumatic surgery. And often sometimes the anesthetic works, sometimes it doesn't. But most of the videos I've seen of circumcisions show someone in the baby's in extreme pain, and that sort of trauma has a lifelong effect. So they may say they don't remember it, but they've got a scar. They used to have a foreskin, and it was stolen from them. So.
Well, I think you can make an argument about birth is pretty violent if you've ever witnessed that, especially a C-section. I mean, one thing, you're swimming around in utero and hey, things are great in here. Next thing you know, down the old slip and slide, and you're into the cold, cruel world having your butt slapped and your umbilical cord, your lifeline cut. That's pretty violent, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Life is full of suffering, so why add to it?
Good point.
Why add to it? Your son will have to struggle through all kinds of hardships in his life.
Yeah.
And why on earth would you add another one?
Well, an unnecessary cost and it as well. I mean, if you think about it now, it's silly, but it's a pattern of behavior, the trend that just continues. And very few people have, like yourself in your group, Bloodstained Men, Harry, have come out and said, this is stupid. It's got to stop. Is the public receptive to this? I mean, what's the reaction? It's hard to tell because it's going on right now. You just started downtown at East 2nd and Joe Nuxall. But you've been in this tour. You've been through our part of the country. You're doing it on, I think, 13 days here in Ohio. You've been doing it in pretty much every state in the union. What's the response been?
Well, the response is getting better and better. We've been doing this for more than 10 years, and the response has been improving. People are getting the message, but we still encounter hostility or incredulity.
Yeah.
It's a broad range of responses, but we see the trend is people are getting it, so that's a good thing.
I don't know. Do people push back at this ever? I'm sure you know, it's America. I could be drinking a glass of water and somebody could be yelling at me for drinking a glass of water. It's just, you know, it's America and people are angry for no reason whatsoever. What typically are the arguments you hear if you do that?
Oh, we hear things like, oh, go get a job or, you know, silly things like that. People just go, or they're just irate and flipping us off or leaning on their horn or whatever. I mean, it clearly is causing, some people to feel very disturbed. And you know, when you see that kind of extreme emotional reaction, you know that person's hurting. Usually it's a man who's been cut and hasn't really dealt with it. Or often it's a mother who's has a child that, you know, she was defrauded. She was misled into believing it was good for him. And there she is confronting the fact that he may grow up and be angry at her for what the decision she made.
Are a lot of guys doing that? Because, you know, I guess that's, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, it makes total sense to me, Harry. But, you know, the lifelong trauma, I don't know about that. I mean, are guys like, you know, in their 30s and 40s upset because their foreskin's missing? I mean, that's a tough one to connect for me.
Well, you know, when men realize what really happened, that's when they get upset. And one way we explain it to them is that for a lot of cut men, the most sensitive part of their penis is around the foreskin or the circumcision scar. And so, you know, they would have had 15 square inches of skin that was as sensitive of that as that or more sensitive than that. Had they not been mutilated. And that's a very painful, you know, men like pleasure, you know, and they, you know, it's like, it's only natural that you want to enjoy sex and masturbation and enjoy your life. It's your life. You should be enjoying it.
Yeah, it's like a Bic pen, you know, lose the cap, the ink dries out.
Right. And, you know, when they realize that this happened and that then they realize that the reasons for doing it don't make any sense and that their rights were violated and their whole life was violated. And that, you know, you have to go through life as an amputee, which, you know, who
never thought
who
of it that way? And 15 square inches of skin we're talking about here, which sounds like a lot, like 15. Speaking for just about every white guy in the world, we need every bit of skin we can get.
Right.
Harry Guyerman is here, bloodstainedmen.com, protest in downtown in Cincinnati as we speak, and then later in at Montgomery and Fields Hurdle in Loveland, calling attention to the issue of male genital mutilation. And that's what this is. I mean, by definition.
That's right. It meets the definition of mutilation. And it's just facing it and bringing it to awareness and getting people to realize that is the challenge.
Yeah. Now, at the protest, you don't have, like, what's the call? Like, PETA, they'll have some naked chick in a cage and protesting tigers or something. You guys don't have, like, a giant inflatable foreskin or anything like that, do you?
We, our main visual element is a blood stain on the crotch of our white pants.
I see.
So that's what catches people's eyes.
Gotcha. Is it real blood or is it just like a facsimile thereof? It's stage blood.
It's just paint.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Yeah, but that'll get your attention, though. White suit, your crotch is red, and then you go, what the hell is this all about? And it's we're talking about, you know, I'd imagine someone listening and somebody seeing the protest today probably will give it some thought and go, yeah, this is kind of stupid. Why you continue this trend? Has there been any movement nationally, maybe in Congress, lawmakers and the like, moving to ban the practice?
No, not. There has been in San Francisco, they tried to ban it, and that was struck down. But nationally, we do not have legislation in the works.
What about like the AMA? What about the AMA or doctors' associations? And I mean, if it's an unnecessary medical procedure, I know there's money involved here, but don't you think like the AMA or even the psychologist would come out and say it's a bad idea?
It violates all of the AMA's ethical standards, infant circumcision does, but they have never condemned it. European doctors have condemned American doctors for doing circumcisions, and they've made very strong policy statements against circumcision. Canadian Pediatric Association has said that circumcision should not be performed in the newborn period. But American doctors are outliers, and you know there's a big liability there. If you have 100 million cut men, 100 million victims of a unnecessary amputation done without their consent, that's a huge liability. And I think they're looking at that. If they ever admit they were wrong, they're looking at hundreds of billions of dollars worth of losses. So I don't think they want to face that.
I'm not sure if that works, though, because as a parent, your job is to be the advocate for your child if you think you're doing right, and it's a legal procedure, so I don't know if that has
merit or not. Yeah, but they've been misled. Profession has misled them.
All right. And as far as the number of procedures, and I said thousands, I think there's like 10,000 babies born a day. If half of them are men, then probably, you know, a couple thousand men a day are getting circumcised.
That's what we estimate, about 2,000 to 3,000. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So in that regard, I mean, what could go wrong? What's the worst thing that could happen?
They can die. That happens. It's generally not reported, but except on social media, people will say, I lost my baby to circumcision. They can lose their entire penis. They can lose just the head of the penis. The penis can be buried within in the body so that it doesn't come out, because there's so much skin was taken away that it's just buried. There are lots of complications, and there are pediatric urologists do revisions and corrections to circumcisions every week. So there's lots of botches.
Yeah.
Lots of guys are harmed. And because of the way it's done, usually by an OBGYN, who then the baby isn't his responsibility, there's no follow-up. So nobody's looking to see what is the outcome of the surgery.
Is that an elective procedure? Or is it covered by, you know, just natural, like your health insurance for childbirth?
Most health insurance cover it.
Yeah.
Medicaid is not supposed to cover unnecessary procedures, but in most states, Medicaid does, but not all states.
Well, there's part of the problem there, too, right? Or if your insurance is covering this thing. Hey, good luck today. I know it's going to be a little wet out there, but Harry Guyerman, bloodstainedmen.com is the website. They'll be they're at right now, East 2nd and Nuxall, downtown Cincinnati, until 1 o'clock, and then Loveland 3 to 5, Montgomery to Fields Erdelen, calling attention to the issue of male genital mutilation, also known as circumcision. Harry, thanks for joining the show this morning. All the best.
Thanks so much, Scott.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, it's kind of a weird, very uncomfortable topic, obviously. Most guys listening go, and even mention for a woman, too. But, you know, if you just think about this in its purest sense, just factually based and reasonable, it's like, yeah, what are we doing over here? If we did that to a woman, my God, there'd be protests, and that's why you're not mutilating female genitalia here in the United States. Look at all the cries over transgendered surgeries, which is, you can count on one hand the number of times that happens. Yet thousands, a couple thousand men a day are doing it in the United States. Nobody cares. Scott Sloan, this is 700 WLW.